Okay, let's begin Peah Daf Chav Gimel, and we are continuing through the second parak of Peah. Two and a half daf left here in the second parak of Maseches Peah in Parak Be'elu Mafsikin, and we had a little discussion the past day or two about Misora and about Halacha Moshe Misinai, because the Mishnah brought up that the halacha of two different types of grains depends on my mindset. If I'm going to harvest them together and do the whole processing together, that is one payah for both. And if I'm going to do them separately, that is two payahs for both. And the Mishnah ended up saying, back on Daf Chaf Aleph Mabez, that this goes back to a Misora from the Zugos, the early pears, going back from the Nevi'im, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So we got into the discussion of Halacha L'Moshe Misinai and Misora, and yesterday, Torah Shebechsav, Torah Shebalpeh, Ruby Tarasi, what's the Rove, and what is the Krisas Bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with the Bnei Yisrael? Was it on Torah Shebechsav? Was it on Torah Shebalpeh? So says the Gemara now on the top of Chav Gimel Manalav. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Amar. Rabbi Shua ben Levi is medayek from three extra letters describing Maimon Har Sinai. Right, there is a pasuk in Dvarim in Perek Tes. The pasuk says, "Va'yitein Hashem Eli Yeshnei Luchos Avanim." Moshe Rabbeinu says that Moshe Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me the two luchos, ksuvim be'etzba Elokim, written in the with the etzba, with the whatever it means, the writing of God, va'alehem kechol advarim, and on them and on the luchos were all the things that Shadibar Hashem imachem bahar mitoch eish biyom hakol. And on them were all the things that Hashem spoke to you about biyom hakol. So that's talking about the luchos, and it says va'alehem kechol hadvarim. So the Gemara now says, Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar, alehem ve'alehem. It could have said alehem, but instead it adds an extra vav, ve'alehem. Kol, it could have said kol, but instead it says kichol. Dvarim, it could have said the word dvarim, but instead it says hadvarim. It says three extra letters. So, says Reb Shua ben Levi, we darshan, and we have a similar drasha in Maseches Brachas in the Bavli. We darshan, what was given to Moshe Rabbeinu? All these things were given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. Mikra, what's Mikra? Says the Rosh Sirlio, Tanakh. All of Tanakh, and he quotes the Gemara and Brachas Bavli Dav Hey, right? Tanakh, interesting. Nevi'im and Ksuvim were given at our Sinai. Let's just continue. Mishnah, what's Mishnah? As we know, Mishnayis, as the Rosh Silio explains all of these, Mishnayis are just the basic laws without reasons. Talmud are the laws with reasons, right? Explaining everything, the Lamdis, Talmud. Ve'agada, what's Agada? He quotes, Bereishis Rabbah, Vayikra Rabbah, Tanchuma, Psikta, Yilanenu. Right, all the Midrashim that we have. Right, those are, that was also given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And then that line, Afilu Masha Talmud Vasig, Asid Lahoros Lifnei Rabo, even everything that a Talmud will be Mechadesh in front of his Rebbe in all generations, Kfar Namar L'Moshe Misinai. Meaning everything was given at Har Sinai, every Chiddush, every Yisod of Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu already at Har Sinai. What is, how do you know this? Matam, what's the source? Remember, that's the way the Yerushalmi says, what's the source? Because the Pasuk says, Yesh Davar, Pasuk in Koheles, Yesh Davar Sheyomar, Re'ei Zeh Chadashu. Right, one might say, look at this, it's new. And it says, Kfar haya lo olamim asher haya milfanenu. Me shiva chaveir va'omer lo kfar haya lo olamim. It already was here, meaning all new chidushim were actually said earlier. Okay, a lot to say here. Let's see what we can mention. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in the Hakdama to Emes Liyakov on Chumash, talks about how it is that Nevi'im and Ksuvim were already given at our Sinai. Like, what exactly does that mean? How could that be? It didn't take place yet. So obviously it's the messages of Nevi'im and Ksuvim were already given, and Rabbi Yaakov points to a Rashi in Tainus Daf Tes. Rashi in Tainus Daf Tes. The pasuk there says, the Gemara there says that Rabbi Yochanan was talking to his nephew, Reish Lakish's son. Ashkechei Rabbi Yochanan liyanuka the Reish Lakish, the Yosef v'kamar, Yivelas Adam v'saliv darkov al Hashem yizaf libe. He quotes a pasuk. Yosef Rabbi Yochanan v'kametame, v'yomar, mi'ika midi d'ksivi b'ksuvi v'lo ramzi b'raisa. And he says, you're quoting me a pasuk from Ksuvim. Is there anything in Ksuvim that's not hinted to in the Torah? Rashi. There, Tainus Daf Tes. Shaha Chumish hu yisod Nevi'im v'Ksuvim. The Chumish is the basis of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. U'bekulam yismach limso min haTorah. And all messages of Nevi'im and Ksuvim, you can already have a smach from the Torah. And he compares it. What does this mean? He says, just like Ilfa says in Ksubis Daf Samach Tes, remember Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan, Ilfa says, you give me a brisa, and I'll tell you where the source of that is in a Mishnah. Says Rabbi Yaakov, just like Brises and Toseftas are rooted in Mishnayos, so too Nevi'im and Ksuvim are rooted in Torah. The messages, he has that comparison. Kamochein kol divrei Nevi'im klalim kalalam haTorah b'Torahs Moshe. Zeh ma shegilo lanu Rabbi Yochanan. V'zeh ma she'amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, de Moshe Rabbeinu, olav ha'shalom, kibel misinai gam Nevi'im b'Ksuvim. And that's how we have to approach all of Torah. All of it comes from our Sinai. Medivir Rabbi Yochanan Elul lemeidem anu ayachas ha'amiti shebein Torah levi'im uksuvim. Ein dar she'ein aromas ba'Torah. Hafoch ba v'hafoch ba dekula ba. Ein shum matzav. Everything is rooted in the Torah. All of Nevi'im, all of Ksuvim. Everything comes from there, and that's what it says here. That all of Tanakh was already given at Har Sinai. Also, the fact that everything was given at Har Sinai, Kachal Advarim, right, Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud. So on the Luchos must not have been all of just Torah, the Aseres Divros, right? It must be. So one might say, it's like Rashi quotes at the end of Parshat Mishpatim in the name of Rav Sadia Gaon, that somehow those are 10 categories. 10 categories, not just 10 Dibros. 10 categories. But also it might mean on a deeper level, and there's proofs to this and sources to this as well, that on some level, not that they're categories, but that Aseres HaDibros symbolize Kol HaTorah Kula. Not that they're included, but they symbolize Kol HaTorah Kula, right? Even the Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah, I think it's a Parshas Naso, that says that there are 620 letters in the Aseres HaDibros. 613 plus the seven mitzvahs Durabanan, right? The everything is there. We have the Yerushalmi and Shkalim talks about there was a lot written between each of the Dibros, right? Not just in the space in between. Even two halachas. There is a Daz Zakenim, Mibali Atosas, who explains the Gemara in Meseches Sanhedrin that says that a king always has to walk around with another Sefer Torah. Right, he has a special din, Mishnah Torah, he writes more like every other Jew, and the king also has to have a Sefer Torah with him wherever he goes. That's the Gemara in a Sanhedrin on Daf Chaf Aleph. Right, Achas Shehi Yotzev and Echreses Imo, Achas Shumanachas Lobbeis Genazov. Osa Shehi Yotzev and Echreses Imo, the one that goes out with him, Eino Nechlas Lobbeis America Lobbeis Akise, everywhere he goes, obviously not in the bathroom. But says the Das Akademi Bali Atosvis, maybe he just had an amulet of the Aseres HaDibros. And that symbolizes Kol HaTorah Kula. So maybe he didn't have to, we think of him carrying a Sefer Torah. Maybe, but he thinks that maybe that's what it refers to. The Baalei Atosis. The Hakavana Eina Ela Aseres HaDibros. Avshar Pasuk Mavur Shekosei Mishnah Torah Bechulu. And he continues. So that is an interesting suggestion. But there are other messages that other sources that relate to this. This also helps with the question that the poskim discussed. There's a tshuva of the Rambam about this. The Rambam gets very upset that people stand for the Aseres HaDibros during laning, and they don't stand for the rest of the Torah. The Rambam thinks it's a violation of Taromis Haminim from the Gemara in Maseches Brachos in the Bavli. The Yerushalmi also, we had a discussion of it, that they wanted to put Aseres HaDibros into davening every day. But they didn't, because people might focus so much on that, they think that's the only thing that's important. And that's why they didn't put it in Taromos Aminim. So the Rambam thinks that you can't stand just for the Aseres HaDibros, because that would be Taromos Aminim. Right? And that's why he's upset at that minhag, that is so prevalent in our day. How would you defend the minhag? So either you say that the Rambam wouldn't be against the minhag, but one might say that the minhag developed because on a deeper level, Aseres HaDibros symbolizes Kol HaTorah Kula. And therefore, symbolize Kol HaTorah Kula, so then that is something to stand for. A. B, you might say, well, we stand for other things too. So nobody's going to think Aseres HaDibros, right? We think we stand for Oz Yashir, we stand for the Chazaks, well, we stand for other parts of the Torah as well. So maybe that will help. Rav Soloveitchik thought that maybe there's a difference between how we lane it. And that is Tam Elyon and Tam Tachton. We know there's a special trup, special ta'amim that we have for the Aseres HaDibros, that in Chutz La'aretz they always lane. In Eretz Yisrael, some shuls have the practice of laning Tam Tachton, the regular trup, on Vaschanon and Yisrael, and Tam Elyon on Shuas. But what's the message? Rav Soloveitchik explained, usually Tam Tachton is, Kriyas HaTorah is Talmud Torah. It's Talmud Torah Barabim. That's how it's defined. As Talmud Torah Barabim, and even though it's Talmud Torah Barabim, it still gets a new bracha. Right, when we have a new quality of Talmud Torah, so that mandates a bracha. We say a new Asher Bachar Banu. He even said that by the Seder, Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim is a new form of Talmud Torah. So we say a kind of bracha, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanasan Torah La'amo Yisrael. So even there. But that's generally Talmud Torah. But Maimon Har Sinai, when you lain with Tam Elyon, it's a reenactment of Maimon Har Sinai. And that's different. And we were standing at Har Sinai. So maybe that's a reason to stand for Tam Elyon. Tam Elyon, because the Rambam might agree, because the Rambam never quotes Tam Elyon. See, he believes in Tam Tachton, and it's all Tam Torah. But if one would lay Tam Elyon, which would reflect Maimon Har Sinai, a reenactment, so maybe even the Rambam would agree that it would be okay. But again, the root of that is that everything is on the Luchos, everything is from that moment, and that's what the Gemara here says. Rabbi Shimon Levi notes that everything was originally given, and everything after that is just application. We just have to sometimes just figure it out and go deeply underneath to try to figure things out. Now that's why the Gemara had to be written, because they used to know it just from the Mishnah, but it would be forgotten and we wouldn't understand it, so we needed the Gemara and we need the Rishonim and all the Mefarshim figuring everything out for us. Okay, there's more relating to that, but let's continue for now. It says the Gemara, Reb Zeira b'shem Shmuel. Ein lomedim lo min ha-halachos v'lo min ha-agados. One is not allowed to learn from halacha. What does that mean? Learn from halacha? You can't paskin just because the Mishnah says this is the halacha. Because the Mishnah might say halacha kidvarav, and we don't paskin that way. So you can't learn from a halachos. Actually, no, I'm sorry. That's going to be in a minute. That's going to be in a couple of lines. This one means, according to the Mara Folda, one is not allowed to extend halacha l'moshe misinai more than we have the Mesorah for what it means. If l'moshe misinai says A, you can't say, oh, well, the same Sefer would apply by B, so you should say it by A and B. So you can't expand from halachos, velo min ha-hagados, and also you can't expand from ha-hagados. What does that mean? Paskening from Agada. If you look in the Ras Yirlio, he says, "Kigon dinim sheksuvin bebracious rabba, v'yesh ben hefech b'tamudenu." If you have an agadata and you have a halacha, if you have a medrash that goes against a gemara, so the gemara wins. The gemara wins. That comes up every so often that we have the bracha. Baruch Shef Tarani is in a medrash agada, right? It's nowhere in Shas. So does that mean that we shouldn't say it? Right, the Ramak quotes that you should say it without Shem HaMalchus, because it's not in Shas. The Vilna Gaon argues, but you can't pass it from an Agada, says the Rash. Velo min ha-toseftos. That's the Gruz Girsa. Not from Toseftos, if it's not in the Mishnah. Ela min ha-Talmud. Only from the Talmud. From the Talmud, if the Gemara says something. The Gemara says something, and this is the Halacha, so then one can pass it based on it. You look in the Pnei Moshe, right here. Lefi shehamoraim shebet Talmud, heinheim shebiru halacha lamaisa. Mitok pilpulam. They figured out what the halacha is going to be through their sharpness. Umitok svara shelahem. And through their logic. Ulefichach. Afalpi. Shelefamim huzkar b'mishnu b'braisa. Halacha krei ploni. Ein somchen al zeh. Like I explained before, maybe this could also be what it means, not just what the Mara Fulda says about halacha Moshe B'Sinai, but also even the halacha. Still, we don't paskin that way always. Ein somchen al zeh ki im dafka al halacha shebi gemara. Only way the gemara would say the halacha is the halacha, that's what we would paskin. And this is a big discussion, because a similar chazal is found in the Bavli, in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed. So the Rishonim all there discuss these principles as well, and say the same yisod as the Pnei Moshe says, but he got it from these Rishonim. Just for example, the Ritva there in Baba Basra, Kuf Lamed. The Gemara there says, Ein lemeidim halacha mipi Talmud. You don't learn halacha from Talmud. And one second, our Gemara here says that you only learn halacha from Talmud. Pirish, says the Ritva, Talmud shel tanoim. If it's the Talmud of the Mishnah, so to speak, in the Mishnah, that you don't paskin from. She'amru b'mishnah halacha k'divrei ploni. Ki ulai divrei yachid heim. Maybe that's only one opinion. Umiyu ba'omer, but if it says, lo zazu misham achakavu halacha kamoso, ein lecha psak gadol mimenu. If it has that lashon, lo zazu misham until they were kovel halacha, that's a halacha. Umiyu talmud shalamoraim, davar pashanu shalameidim mimenu halacha labaisa. But if the Gemara comes to a maskana, of course you paskin that way. And he has a great line. Shem lo kein, al mi nismach. If you don't paskin like the Gemara's psak, so who are you going to paskin like? Who's going to go? You can't go against the Gemara. So of course, the davar pashadu, shaludiber tana debraisa ela betamu shaltanam shalibizmano. But over here in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed, where it says, don't paskin mi pi Talmud, that's talking about Mishnayos. But here, where it says, Yipaskin mipi Talmud, that's talking about Maskanas of Gemara. And the Meiri also has a long discussion there in Daf Kuflam in Bava Basra. There he quotes our Gemara. He quotes, Batalman Meirev Shalpeya, Amru. And the Meiri learned the Yerushalmi. And he says, I've seen many who make a mistake. V'davar zeh, davar sha maskil tzarech shiit ke'enu belibo. Somebody who's smart has to be focused on this. Mimasha ra'isi bedor zeh nichshal binyan melu. Many people, he says, in my generation, they paskin like a Mishnah. Shekol shebal yadeno hara o maisa haroi leasar o lahatir lezakos o lachayev. Lahakshir o lifso, latami o latayir. Midina Talmud, umeikara shel halachim, nismachim lachlok. Bini muke blau shel chidushim. They come up with chidushim, and they scream, and I found this is like this pshita and that pshita. He says, you have to know the rules for psak. Says the Mir, you gotta know what you paskin by. Based on Mishnah, again, we just look in the Shulchan Aruch and the Menosei Kalim. But they were figuring out who the Halacha is like. You look in the Gemara, you have a Machlokes, and there are rules about who the paskin like. But he says you have to know exactly the rules. And he ends up by saying, Vesov Tadvarim, after a long paragraph, Ashrei Misha Balakan, Vitamudo Biyado. Quoting the Gemara elsewhere, but using it in a play on words. Praise is the one, Tamudo. Tamudo Biyadu, that's the one that we would paskin like. Okay, we continue in the Gemara. Tani, Rav Tachlifa ben Shaul, one second. You're telling me, let's go with the Mara, full pshat of the first line, you don't learn from halachos, meaning you don't expand and apply halachal Moshe Misinais. So he says, Hi shnei mine chitim, hi shnei mine saorim. But one second. We learned in our Mishnah, a halacha Moshe Misinai, that it's two types of wheat, that it depends on my decision in terms of the harvesting, but we know that applies to two types of barley too. So you see, we extended it. Right? The halacha Moshe Misinai was only by two types of wheat, and we extended it to two types of barley. Amar Reb Zeira, kachos halacha biadam. No! The original halacha Moshe Misinai was about barley too. That was the halacha of Eshechachua, and then they forgot it. The halacha Moshe Misinai was about two wheats and two barley, so therefore it was not an extension, it was always the interesting halacha. Right? You might have answered that the yesod, the halacha Moshe Misinai, was just two types of the same item. You might, the Gemara doesn't answer that. You might have thought, it's whenever you have two types of anything, right, as long as it's the same species, right, they're all both wheat, they're both barley, you might have thought that halacha Moshe Misinai was two types of anything, but the Gemara doesn't say that. So it seems like it was specifically about wheat. And again, halacha Moshe Misinai doesn't have to be logical. Maybe that's the message. If it was based on logic, then you could say it was just about two types of anything. But here, the Gemara limits it, two types of wheat, two types of barley. And the Gemara even asks on that, but one second. Vadetanina, but we learned it in Mishnah later on also, applying it to onions. Applying it to onions. And that's not in halacha Moshe Misinai. Hamachlik bitzalam lachin lashuk. If somebody plucks out their moist onions to sell in the marketplace, umekayim yeveshim lagarin, and you're going to keep your drier onions in order to use in your own home, to put in your own silo. So there, you treat it as two payas. You have two fields and two payas, because you're harvesting it for two different purposes. One is to sell in the marketplace, and one is to bring home. So the Gemara says, rhetorically, Islacha Meimar, Shuk Vigoren, Karkaisa Halacha Biyadun Shechua. You want to say this also? Was part of Halacha Moshe Misinai? Meaning, to say it was two types of barley also, okay, you can understand. Two types of wheat, two types of barley, you can understand those chilukim on a daraisa level in Halacha Moshe Misinai. But to say there's a difference between the reasons that you are harvesting it, and that was forgotten, that's much harder to say that was forgotten in Halacha Moshe Misinai. You see in the Mara Folda, Bishlama Shnei Mine Seorim, Islam Lameimar, Tekachais Halacha. By two parts of types of barley, you could say, that's the Halacha, Velo Iskiro Lechitim. And it only said wheat, Tekala Tvua Chadanidu, because all two is the same, like I was saying before. They forgot about the barley. Right, that's something new. To say that two different purposes of the same item will split it into two payas, that's something different. That's not just the same din, and that would need its own halacha Moshe Misinai. How'd you forget that? Ella finishing up the Mara Folda. Ella al karchach shechachamim heim shemadam milsa lemilsa. It must be the chachamim compared. And use their svara to apply it. Hachanami, sorin delayo, Rabbi Chalafta, me'as ma'amra. Also before, and there's no answer to this question. Meaning, see, he argues. And he says, maybe, once you can't come up with your own halacha Moshe Misinai. But once you have your Halacha Moshe Sinai, so then maybe you could extend it and apply it if it's the same Svara. If it's the same Svara or a similar Svara. This might relate to a shiur we had a couple of days ago where we spoke about two types of Halacha Moshe Sinais. Mechadeshes, Mefareshes. Right, we spoke about that. This might relate to it, but either way, it seems to be a machlokas here. Amoraim, whether one could take the yisod of Halacha Moshe Sinai and apply it out. Continuing. Rabbi Chananya b'shem Shmuel, ein lemei demin ha-horaya. You can't learn from a psak. From a psak. Why? Because often piske halacha are given in specific situations. And this is what every Shaila v'tshuva sefer writes in its introduction. Don't paskin from this sefer. Right? I gave this psak because of the specific factors and the specific people involved. And don't paskin from this. Right, and one has to be very careful about that. You see on the bottom line of the Pnei Moshe, De Efshar Hayalo Eze Tambadavar. Maybe there's a specific reason. Lefisha Lefamim Morin Lefisha Hatzricha Lekach. Sometimes you give a psak based on the need of the moment. Ulefamim Kach, and sometimes the other way. Right, so number one, you don't know what his reasons are. Number two, if you look in the Rosh Tzir Lio, you might be mistaken what his reasons are. Right, you might think that he's giving a reason leheter for reason A, but really it's for reason B. So you're totally wrong in interpreting. Sometimes the Gemara will say that so-and-so, you know, Rav holds this way. And the Gemara will say, you saw it? You heard it from him? Or just from a story? And the Gemara will say, if it's from a story, there might be a different reason why. He never said that, but it's for different reasons. That's what the Rosh Tzir Lio says here also. Based on, he quotes the Gemara Baba Basra, he says, De ta haroe, de shema oso adin, lo nifsak harochim embroke, el al yedei tanos acheros. Right, maybe there's other reasons that the psak occurred. So you can't just paskin based on one psak in one case and assume that would automatically go to the other case as well. Continuing, hakol modim, shein lemedim in amaisa. But both agree, both Rav Chananya and Rav Zeira, who were just both talking, in the Gemara say, ein lemedim min hamaaseh. What does that mean? You can't learn from a ma'aseh. The Pnei Moshe, the Ma'arav Folder says, because, you know, you can, as we just explained, you can't learn from psak, and you can't learn from a story that happened, because you don't know why the person would have done that. See at the top, Pnei Moshe, imra l'rabosha osa ma'aseh ba'atzmo kach, ein lemeidim l'kvo halacha kein. L'fisha efsha sha'ayelo eizatam bo'sa psak din. Maybe he has a reason, and you can't compare. So basically, in psak, one has to be very, very careful. Amalei Rabbi Mana, Hadad de Tamar Bahu de lo Savar. Rabbi Mana says, when can you not paskin from a Maisa, from a Psak, by something de lo Savar? What does that mean? Machlokas here, between the two Mefarshim on the page. The Ma'arav Folder says, when can you not paskin something but de lo Savar, something that is not logical. Something that's not logical, you're going to learn it that's and totally extend the something that's illogical, that you can't do. Let's read the continuation with Epshad. Baramba, who desavar, but if something's logical and it makes sense that that's must be the reason, Savad, then you might be able to assume that way. The Pnei Moshe has a different shot. When could you not learn from a Maisa if you are not a Chacham? Bahu de lo savar, it's going on the person. If he is not a Talmud Chacham, then you don't understand the proper perspective. But if you're a Talmud Chacham, who desavar, then you would be able to like interpret what your Rebbe did. Omar Leir of Chananiah says back to him, no, Bein Savar, Bein Lo Savar. Whether it's logical or not, or whether he's a Talmud Chacham or not, or the Tupshatim, Piahu de Pliga. That's also only by an issue that's under discussion of Machlokas. Baram Beahu de Lo Pliga, there's no Machlokas about these issues, Bein Savar, Bein Lo Savar, Avar. If there's no Machlokas about an issue, then there's no reason not to extend it and to follow, what you learn from that mice. Okay, so basically, when one is a posik, one has to be very careful what one paskins from. One has to go through the whole sugya and do the rishonim and the achronim, like Rav Moshe says in the Hakdama. One has to sit there, beyiras me Hashem yisbarachu bekovid rosh, and even when we learn from the tshuvas svarim, we have to make sure that we don't paskin straight from there, because again, there are certain svaras and yichidushim that are given that maybe can be applied, but the specific psak in every situation one has to be careful about. It might be based on certain factors. That's also why the new craze in the world is artificial intelligence, and just ask a question and it'll spit out the answer. So you'll never be able to do that with a tshuva, with a shaila of a tshuva in halacha, because there's so much that goes into the decision of a posek, you got the same exact question asked by two different people, same exact information, get two different answers. Two different answers. So AI is never going to replace the posek, right? It could replace sources for a shear. It could replace, I don't know if it can play, but for a divrei Torah, maybe there's some great things out there that one could channel and use it for, but in terms of psak, you know, it's not going to happen. Says the Gemara. Halachei, next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Sadeh shekatsru agayim, a field that was harvested. Somebody goes outside and sees their whole field was cut down by goyim. Katsru agayim without permission. Without permission. They are not working for me. Obviously, if they're working for me, we'll see in the Gemara. So then that would be a chiyapeya. But if it was cut down by goyim, shekatsru alistim, or bandits, right? Robbers came and cut it all down. Kirsamuha nemalim, or nemalim, ants ate up the whole crop. Shivaratu aruach, or the wind broke all of the tfuah. O behema, or an animal ate it all. Petura. In all these cases, pater. Because remember, the chiyav of peya starts at the moment of the harvesting. And we said it's determined about how many peyas maybe at the end of the harvesting. But if one didn't harvest at all, then there's no chiyav of peya. No chiyav of peya if one didn't harvest. It's all talush now. What do you mean? There's nothing left. No, it's all on the ground now. It's all talush. The guy cut it, and now it's all on the ground. If you try to, the robber start to try to steal it, and now it's gone. So there's no chiyav of peya there. Because the harvesting was done biptur. What about this case? Katzar chetzia v'katzro listim chetzia. A person cut half his field, and he's planning to take peya from what's left. From what's left. But listim come and cut down the whole second half of the field. Katzro listim chetzia pitura. Shechovas hakatzar bekama. Again, because the chova, the chiyav of peya is bekama in the standing. So here you were planning to give in what was left standing, but now there's nothing standing. So if you had a chiyav when it was standing and you yourself went violated an isur d'araisa and harvested your whole field without giving peya, so then as we read the Rambam yesterday or the day before, then the Rambam says there's a lava nitak la'aseh now to give. To give if mitzvah so minakama, if not, give minatolosh. But if I didn't do the avera, right, I was planning to give this half of the field that's still standing and now there's no more kama, so then there's nothing to do. One is putter from giving from his field. Similarly, katsuro listim chetzia, what are the other way? Or the opposite. Kitsuro listim chetzia, if listim cut half the field, the first half, now you only have half your field left. The katsar chetzia, but now you cut the second half of the field, then you have to give peya. You have to give peya, no sin peya, mimasha katsar, at least on the half of the field that you cut. The first half of the field is now biptur, because it was cut in a way that did not generate a chiyav of peya. But if somebody, the listim, cut the first half, you got the second half, then you have to give peya from that second half. Similar, katzar chetzia umachar chetzia. What if I cut half, so there's going to be peya in the other half, and then I sold that half. Halokeach nosin peya lakol. The buyer has to give peya from everything. Why? Because we view it, the Mefarshim explained, you can look in the Rambam here and also in the Pnei Moshe, we view it as if the peya was never sold. I sold you half the field, but excluding the peya. Because I already have a chiyav of peya. I cut the first half of my field. In the rest of the second half of the field, there's peya in there. So when I sell it to you, it's ke'ilu, right? The Pnei Moshe says, "Habi ke'ilu lo machar lo elamashi yishtayer b'sadeh achar sheyotzi mimena peya shebro lahotzi miosa sadeh." Right? I only sold you the field, the rest of it that was not peya. The Mefarshim, look at the Mishnah Rishona on Mishnayos. He says it has to be that the buyer knew that he was going to have to give this peya. That you were selling it and you didn't take peya yet. And he's going to have to do this. If he didn't know, then it could be a mekatos. Or at least he could deduct from the price, because he thought he was buying the whole field. But he could deduct from the price. So it must be that he knew, to make things simple, and then he would have to give it. But that's an issue, or that's a dinimominous issue. Continue. Katzar chesia v'hikdash chesia. I harvested half of it, so now I have a chiyav of peya in the other half. But then I'm makdash the other half. Hikdash chetzia, hapode miyad gizbar hunos epe alakol. So the chiyav already kicked in. It wasn't that the gizbar cut it. If the gizbar cut it, then there'll be a ptur. But if I cut it, and then I give it to the person who redeems it, the chiyav epeya never disappeared. So therefore, one, whoever redeems it, would have to give peya for the entire field. The shaila is, the achronim asked, the pnei ari in the back, yes, how could he be How could he be makdish it at all? Isn't, as we just said, he didn't sell the guy the peya if he sold it, because that's already designated. It's not going to be makdish. How can it be makdish the peya inside? Isn't that not his? Isn't that not his? That's a question that the Achronim try to figure out. It's not mevurar, it's not mesuyam yet, so somehow it's still in his reshus to be able to give it. It's easy to be makdish something in general. We don't have time to go into this now, but Amiras Lagvok and Amiras Lahedyo, just being makdish it. See, even though they ask, Einot Amakdish Dover Eino Shelo, we do find sometimes that Hekdish breaks rules. That you don't need a Maisakinyan. Right? I just say, about my animal, this belongs to Hekdish. Hamakdish it. So now it belongs to Hekdish. I can't say this belongs to Ruvain. You can't be Mochel somebody an item. Right? He has to do a Kinyan, do a Maisakinyan on it. It could be in, if it's in Reuven's chatzer, then fine. But if it's in my chatzer, he didn't do Mashiach, he didn't do Agbah, he didn't do anything, then it's not his. But by Hekdish, I'm Yerusha L'Gavar, Kim Yerusha L'Hedyor, which itself is a big sugya. Hopefully we'll talk about that at some point soon. But we will stop here. We'll continue with the Gemara next time.